Please rise and join Councilmember Burrow in the pledge.
Ready to begin?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Burrow.
Here.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Brendler.
Here.
And Mayor Luna.
Here.
All present.
Next item is approval of the agenda. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember O'Malley, second by Councilmember Burrow to approve the agenda. Roll call, please.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Yes.
Councilmember Burrow.
Yes.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Brendler.
Yes.
Mayor Luna.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
The next item is City Council reorganization. So I'll turn it over to the City Clerk, Marcia Torkelson.
Thank you. I will accept nominations for the position of Mayor.
I will nominate Mayor Pro Tem Brendler to be Mayor.
Second.
Are there any additional nominations?
I move we close nominations.
Second.
And Mike, while you're assuming office, I've got a gift for you.
That'll make the second or third one I've got.
You may need them all.
The easier it gets, the better.
There you go.
Believe it. So, well, before we move on to the selection of our pro tem, I think it's only fitting that in the capacity of your new mayor that my words tonight on behalf of the council and on behalf of the city is to wish our community and our neighboring communities a very safe and joyous holiday season. This is a time when we should all embrace one another and our families, our friends, and certainly a time to show compassion to those in need and those who have suffered misfortune. Now tonight, as I assume the role of your mayor, I recognize the tremendous obligations and the responsibilities ahead. In the short year that I've served you, I've learned a great deal, but there is so much more that I need to learn. And although, you know, we've had some distractions over this past year, I've done my best in representing you and our community, and I will continue to do so. Over the past year, I assure you that my commitment has not changed, and that commitment is to openness in government, to behaving professionally, respecting the public and the public process, and a commitment to move this wonderful city ahead by adhering to honesty and intelligent planning and common sense. And I encourage everyone in government, as well as the community, to join me in these endeavors. And my last comments are to thank the council for your patience with me during this past year, and as I brought myself up to, or am continuing to bring myself up to speed. And a special thanks to you, Councilmember George Luna, for the wonderful leadership you've shown over this past year, and particularly during the time when you're conducting meetings with a fractured shoulder. To me, that just shows the commitment, the wonderful commitment you have to this community. So thank you. And now I believe it's time to move on to the selection of the Mayor Pro Tem.
I will now accept nominations for the position of Mayor Pro Tem.
I move Alan Burrow for the position of Mayor Pro Tem.
Yes.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Mayor Brendler.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Congratulations.
You'll get your button next year.
And now I believe we'll be taking a short recess, and then we'll reconvene in about 15 minutes.
And there is cake in the back for everyone to celebrate.
All right, we'll reconvene our meeting, and prior to moving to the consent calendar, we have a presentation, the Distinguished Service Medal to Police Officer Wyatt Kasfeldt.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, and city staff and public. I have with me today Officer Wyatt Kasfeldt, and he's being recognized for his service on November 18th of 2006. On that date, Officer Wyatt Kasfeldt and other officers, as well as deputies, responded to an apartment in the south end of the city to contact a person suspected of recent domestic violence activity. And the suspect was believed to be armed with a rifle. He was a ex-felon, and he had actually served time in prison for conviction of violent crimes. What complicated the incident even further was he was a prior law enforcement officer that had tactical experience. And as the officers were located, positioned around the apartment complex, the suspect came out of his apartment and had a loaded 308 caliber high-powered deer rifle with the scope caps up, and after was immediate, and it prevented serious injury to himself, to other officers, and to the other residents in that apartment community. And it illustrates also the value of the training that our officers receive in response to critical incidents and use of force. It's my honor and my privilege to present Officer Wyatt Kasfeldt with a Distinguished Service Medal, which is the second highest award the department may bestow on a member who performs a dangerous and distinguished act, conspicuously exceeding the performance expected. He will be presented with a certificate, a medal, and a ribbon, and the certificate is presented to or by the Atascadero Police Department to Officer Wyatt Kasfeldt in recognition of the distinguished service performed by Officer Wyatt Kasfeldt for his commendable actions in the face of great personal danger on November 18th, 2006. Congratulations, Wyatt.
Well, Officer Kasfeldt, having been a police officer myself for many, many years, I just want you to know that I know one of the greatest fears that a police officer has when they're on the street is the potential of having to use lethal force, but sometimes there's simply no other option. And know that your community is grateful to you for protecting us, and know that we're grateful that you are safe and back in the saddle. Thank you again. Council minutes, item
we can approve those A2. As corrected.
Could they be approved as corrected?
They can be. I just wanted to verify that all five of you knew what amendments were made.
They're fine with me.
If you could you read the corrections? Or
sure.
Or just read them into the record?
On page 27, which is actually page 5 of those minutes, but page 27 of your packet, about three-quarters of the way down the page, the line that says, with growth comes responsibility, and it says thought, and the last T shouldn't be there. It's really and though there is no dispute. So just a typo there. The next page is under discussion, Mayor Pro Tem Brendler stated that he has no problem with, that's what the sentence says, and he actually said they had no monumental problems, and so we're just adding that. I listened to the tape, and that was what he said.
Could I ask for one other addition. At the end, just prior to adjournment, the vote was 4-1, and Mayor Luna asked me if I wanted to change my vote, and I said no, that the reason I voted yes was because I wanted to see it go to the vote of the people.
And you'd like me to add what you said,
Jimmy? I would appreciate it if you would, because it clarifies my yes vote.
Okay.
And the reason I voted yes was because I wanted to see the Walmart issue go to the vote of the people and let them decide.
I'll be glad to listen to the tape and put down exactly what you said.
Okay. Okay.
So I'd just like those to be approved as amended, then.
With that, I'll move approval of the consent calendar with the exception of item 11.
George, on number 6, I cannot vote on. If it's pulled, I'll have to. And then on number 7, why we need it to at least pull number 7, yes.
Okay. I'll amend the motion to include the consent calendar with the exception of 6, 7, and 11.
Okay. As far as 6 goes, I just can't vote on it. I had to leave the room at that time. So if it's pulled, then I have to leave the room, I believe. Is that not right?
My understanding is if we don't pull it, we just record it as Councilman Clay not voting on that. So the motion.
Maybe you want to open it to the public, see if the public is.
Does anyone from the public wish to pull an item on the consent calendar? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council.
So I move approval of the consent calendar with the exception of 7 and 11.
Excuse me, Council Member Clay has a conflict on
O'Malley.
And then the city attorney asked me to explain.
We should vote on the motion first, and then we'll take item 6.
Council Member Clay? I'm sorry, Council Member Luna?
Yes.
Council Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Council Member Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bayrou?
Yes.
Mayor Luna? I'm sorry, Mayor Brendler?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Almost got the vote twice.
Item 6, you want to?
All right, let's move on then to item A6. And
right, well, on 6, I had property that was within 500 feet of the BMX, proposed BMX park, so I stepped down on that. I did not vote on that item.
And you also need to remove yourself from the dais while the council votes on this issue now.
We haven't done that way in the past, but I'd be happy to.
Okay.
We need 7 first?
No, let's do 6.
We'll wait.
So I move approval of item number 6 on the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Any discussion? I don't know.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Council Member Luna?
Yes.
Council Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bayrou?
Yes.
Mayor Brendler?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
All right. We'll move on to item A7 as soon as Council Member Clay's return.
Okay, the reason I pulled item 7 is I voted no on it, and I wasn't not against the, I was supportive of the a yes vote on the condo conversions on buildings that had already been built, but I was concerned about the part in there that dealt with new condos, because I feel like new condos is a first-time buyer situation, and that we've had very few built over the past 15, 20 years. So I wanted to see the new condo part out of there, and I wanted to see it split into two, and we couldn't accomplish that. And I do have one question of staff. Warren, we talked about the 25% and the 50% in regards to do you remember that? Do you know where we were at with that?
Yes, I believe there was no change. It remained at 25%.
Okay, thank you.
Construction, it may add some disincentives for affordable housing, and with that, I can't support this motion. Thank you.
Any other discussion?
You got to have roll call.
Roll call, please.
Did we open it to the public and close it?
Yes.
It was open.
Yes.
Roll call, please.
I'll need a first and a second on that.
We need a motion. I'll move approval of A7.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Luna, second by Mayor Pro Tem Barreau. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Luna?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
No.
Councilmember Clay?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Barreau?
Yes.
Mayor Brendler?
Yes.
3-2, motion passes.
And now we'll move on to item A11, vehicle purchases. I believe the city manager, Wade McKinney, is going to address that.
Councilmember O'Malley pulled it. Did you have questions?
I would suggest you take it from here. I know there's an opportunity for us to look at some hybrid vehicle purchases, and if you're going to address that, this would be great.
Mr. Mayor and Council, we would like to pull this item. As Councilmember O'Malley mentioned, we do want to look at the opportunity for a hybrid vehicle for the one Ford Escape, so we're asking for approval to purchase the pickup that will be used for the community center, and we will come back to you because we need additional appropriation for the hybrid vehicle for the other inspection vehicle.
We do. I had a question.
Council first, then public.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes. Wade, what do you think the approximate difference in cost between the hybrid vehicle and what we plan on buying would be?
I think it's a little more than $10,000 with the difference in the price of or the mileage we're anticipating, and it's mostly used in town. We'd anticipate about a 3-year payback.
And the total cost would be?
The total cost of the vehicle.
The total cost of the vehicle is?
It's about $17,000 in this bid. It'd be about $28,000, we think, is the hybrid.
Okay, and you think it'll pay off in 3 years?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember O'Malley, I believe you're up.
Yes, thank you. And this is consistent.
We're moving approval of the pickup, but
I'm moving approval on item A11 as indicated, slight modification in the staff report by our city manager.
Okay. I'll second that.
But it's just for the pickup, right? They're going to come back with you. Okay. Right.
Motion by Councilmember O'Malley, second by Councilmember Luna. Roll call, please.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Luna?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Barreau?
Yes.
Mayor Brendler?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
All right, now we'll move on to our public hearings. First item, item B1, and I believe that'll be...
Excuse me, that'll be Rochelle?
Rochelle.
Thank you, Mayor.
Fiscal year 2006-2007 audit.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor Brendler and Mayor Pro Tem Barreau and council members. Tonight, I'd like to go over the 2006-2000 audit. This is for the year ending June 30th, 2007. You should have a very thick package in front of you that includes our 140-page audit. Our audit was performed for the fourth year in a row by Glenn Burdett, Phillips, and Bryson. We have Kathy Niffenegger here, who is a partner in charge of that audit and has been for the last 4 years, so she'll be addressing you at the end of my presentation. You also have a packet that has some compliance stuff and federal awards that we need to send to the feds. And I wanted to point out that, again, we have an unqualified opinion. That is the best opinion that you can get. An audit entails having the auditors come out in the spring. They test our systems, our internal control. Then they come out again in the fall, check our final numbers, they do some compliance testing, and then the city staff actually writes up that audit that you have while the auditor gives an opinion on that audit, and I'm sure Kathy will go into some more detail about that. Going through the audit report, it's kind of intimidating because it's thick. There's a lot of information in there, so I just wanted to go over some things for you, break it down. Pages 1 and 2 of the audit are the auditor's opinion. So that's where she says that we have an unqualified opinion, that the financial statements present fairly the financial position of the city. The next pages 3 through 12, are the management and discussion and analysis. This is kind of a narrative of the overall picture of the audit. What's changed from the previous year, what some of your major revenue totals are, those types of things. and they're a new thing. Those are the only pages that you're going to see that type of accounting are pages 3 through 12. Pages 13 through 15 are, pages 16 through 27 are basically the summary pages for the governmental funds and the proprietary funds. Again, I know this is a lot of information, but those are everything all summarized. Page 28, those are the notes. That's where you get to find out all the interesting stuff about PERS and our debt and our what our accounting basis are, all sorts of good stuff in there. Then the stuff that you're probably actually interested, that starts on page 55. You're going to have your general fund summary there. That's what happened in the general fund. And then starting on page 57, you have the general fund in minute detail, probably more detail than anybody ever wants to see. And that goes all the way on through, I think, about page 75. And then after that, you're going to find some summary pages for every other fund. I think we have 45 other funds, other governmental funds. And those are going to go on for several 50 pages or so. And in the very last, you're going to have your internal service funds. So a lot of information. I'm happy to, if you're looking for something, if anybody from the public is looking for something, anybody in my staff can help point out in the right spot where you can find information. If you're interested in, you know, what's going on in the Apple Valley Landscape and Lighting District, we can point you to the right spot. Happy to do that. Although there's a lot of information in the audit, there's not a lot of new information in the audit. The audit actually turned out very close to what we were projecting it would when we brought our 2007-09 budget to you guys. So there shouldn't be a lot of surprises in this budget, in this audit. There certainly weren't to me. These are kind of the numbers that we've always been looking at and talking about. They're just a little bit more refined. They're down to the penny rather than to the nearest thousand. The general fund experienced a $400,000 positive net gain in the year, and their total revenues were about $18.9 million. Again, very close to what we expected. The revenues were basically broken out for the pie chart there, but I'm not going to really spend a lot of time because, again, it's close to the budget. I'd rather talk about some revenue trends, and while this may not be exactly the audit, I think it's important at this time to start discussing what's going on with our revenues. It's an abnormal year. It was a very strong year. You know, a couple years ago when we were projecting this year, we were projecting a housing slowdown. We certainly didn't believe our housing, our property tax would be growing at this rate. However, our area seems to lag about 6 months to a year behind the Los Angeles area and the San Francisco area. So where they hit their housing downfall in about 2005, we're a little bit behind that. Also, property taxes tend to lag behind the median house prices. So the median house prices will fall, and a couple years later, you'll see your property taxes fall. So what we're seeing is we're seeing a stellar year. We're going to see a slower growth year in this fiscal year. We don't have any of our property tax in from the county yet. Everybody, they're due December 10th, so we're going to see them at the end of this month. But we have some estimates from them, and we're still seeing strong growth. We're seeing around 9%, we believe, this year. That's still some good growth, but it's not as strong as 15%, and we expect that to trend downward, the growth factor to trend downward even more than that. I wanted to call your attention also to property transfer tax, which is the bottom number here. That doesn't lag behind the housing market. So when you see a slowth in the real estate market, you're going to see a drop-off right away in your property transfer tax. And you can tell that's down 35%. So it's kind of a harbinger of things to come. Again, I want to point out, there is nothing here and there's nothing that we're expecting that was different than the 2007-2009 budget. This is everything I'm talking about, including the trends, is what we expected. We're very close, or the county's predictions right now are very close to what we predicted. So, you know, there's nothing new here, but it is going to be a change for us. We've had increasing growth, where our growth has been bigger every year, for several years in a row now, I think at least the last five. And so now we're going to be heading down the other way. Okay. Skip slide. There was one slide I had in there on property tax, and I just wanted to mention, when the real estate market kind of slows down, we don't see a decline in property tax, or we haven't in the past. What you see is a flat. I think at the league last year, they're saying late 2009, the housing market should start to turn around. That would be really great news. We're going to be a little bit behind that, but that just means 3 years of flattening, and then we should go back up. So for me, that was a lot of really good news. We're not seeing 10-year period like we did last time, but a lot shorter. Sales tax, the news wasn't quite as good as property tax last year. Sales tax is actually made up of two portions now, thanks to the thing called the triple flip at the state, which I've talked about before. And it's made up of sales tax and sales tax in lieu. Overall, when I combine the two, we were flat. I think there's a negative 0.2% decrease or 0.2% decrease. What that's made up of, though, if you just look at that number, is kind of misleading. Our sales tax in lieu went up 36%. And the reason that is because that is based on an estimate from the state on what they think their 25% is going to be of that. So in 2006, when they gave us $831,000 for our sales tax in lieu, they actually underpaid us our sales tax in lieu by about $100,000. So what they then did is they paid that to us in 2007. So my 2007 revenue for sales tax in lieu is about $100,000 higher because we're back paying. Then that's compounded by our sales tax weren't as good as they thought, so they overpaid us for our 2007 sales tax in lieu. So we're going to have to pay them back in this fiscal year about $80,000. So that number is really high. Next year it's going to be about 920. We budgeted for that decrease. We're good to go. But that number artificially, I guess, smooth things out. Our underlying sales tax and our sales tax receipts, well, our sales tax receipts were down 9.6%. If I smooth that out, put things in the right quarter, it's because of some timing things, it's really about, we're down about 4.5%. We're still down, not as bad as the 9.5%. We were certainly out the cash for the 9.5%, but we're going to see a little bit of strength this year. So the reason our sales tax are down is mainly the building and construction industry. A large percent of it, of our sales tax comes from the building and construction. So both of those things dragged us down. Even over road, our sales tax increased based on gasoline prices. So that's kind of what's going on with sales tax. This year, in 07-08, I don't even have a full quarter yet because of the timing of the payments. I only have three estimates. I'll know in December what our first quarter looks like. And in February, when I come to you for mid-year, we'll go over it then. These are the other revenues, and I want you to call your attention to building permits. That was down 33%, like property transfer tax. That trends very closely with what's happening in the real estate market. So it's down about 33%. We did this year budget an increase in that. We were thinking we have a lot of large projects in the work as we were doing our budget. So far, that increase hasn't materialized, so this is a revenue source that I'm watching very carefully. It's a very spiky revenue source, so I may be down 1 month and then over the next month. So it's something that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. But it's what we expected. Mutual aids, the other big one in there. I know I've talked to you before. We signed a contract with the U.S. Forest Service where our fire guys are going out covering various stations, brought in a lot of money last year, $742,000. A lot of that then goes out back out to the fire guys. Whatever we had, whatever receipts we had over what it cost us, we tended to put towards like the new fire engine and those types of things. Oh, and interest was the last big variance in there. And most of that was because of change in the market value of investments rather than a huge swing in the interest rate. So about $200,000 of it is because we have to mark the investments to market value each year. Sorry. Total expenses were about $18.6 million. This is how they broke out. Should look very similar to every other year. Should look very similar to what's in the budget. Let's see. While I didn't put in a slide for expenses by category, you can find them on page 55 on the audit. And the thing that I want you to note on that is how close we have been to our budget this year. In recent years, we've been coming under budget by a fairly significant amount. Due to vacancies, we've had in an expanding economy, expanding revenues. We're going to into a contracting, and it's a different mindset that I need people to start thinking about. Whereas before, golden opportunities would come up, we could jump on them, do whatever we need. We're not going to have that ability for the next few years. We've got a good, solid plan in place. You know, while some of our neighbors are experiencing some tightening of belts, we're not going to have to do that if we stick with the plan, but we are going to feel a little bit of pinching. So that's coming. I'm not expecting any cuts or changes in budget, just kind of a change in mindset. Some of the extras, some of our flexibility is going to go away. So the highlights, last year was a great year financially. It allowed us to do a lot of things that we wouldn't have been able to do without a strong year. I want to remind everybody, though, that the good news was already heard back in May and June. So this good news allowed us to do a lot of those things that we were able to accomplish in the 07-09 budget. Those police and fire labor agreements, the opening of the operations of the youth center, all of those things were, because we had such strong property growth that this year, we were able to expand our operations to accommodate those things. So a lot of good news. We accounted for it. And while we might be heading into a period that will not be as strong financially, you guys are prepared for this. I mean, you guys have been preparing for years for it. You have a nice conservative strategy, and you have a solid plan. Our budget's all set for the slowing growth ahead. So like I said, while some of our neighbors may be doing things like hiring chills, layoffs, or whatever, we don't think we're going to have to go there. You got a good plan. You got a good, solid financial place. You know, we're good to go. And like I said, things may feel a little bit tighter, but overall we're good. So while the city continues to have some fundamental long-term fiscal sustainability problems, we are in solid financial shape, and we're good for the next few years. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Kathy Niffenegger from Glenn Burdett, Phillips & Bryson. She has a couple things she'd like to say to you, and I'll bring it back for questions after.
Thank you, Rochelle. Welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to let you know that this year, as part of the audit, I previously met with the finance and also to be able to explain that there are new reporting requirements this year, some expanded reporting that we did. And so it was real. I thought that was a really favorable thing to be able to have that some of that direct interaction at a finance committee meeting and be able to share some of that information. So by the time we come here, you know, I'm able to say to you, as Rochelle had mentioned, that it was an unqualified auditor opinion, and I like to call it a clean opinion because everyone understands that, on the financial statements. And I really felt, and I reported this to the Finance Committee, that the audit went very well this year, very timely. And I felt like the staff that we worked with, whether it's finance or any other department, was really responsive to the questions we had and any suggestions that we had. We do some areas we're going to look at every single year because they're large, they're significant, the dollars are there. And some areas we try and, in order to get out to all of the city departments eventually, we rotate through them. Especially in the cash receipts area where you have things that are coming into various city departments. So this year, I want to thank the staff at all the departments who worked with us, assisted us, answered all our many questions during the audit. I believe we got out to talk to staff in the police and fire, community development, public works, and, of course, all the assistance of the finance department. And I do want to particularly acknowledge and express my appreciation to Rochelle Rickard and Jerry Rangel, who helps quite a bit on the report as well. So I feel it was very positive audit-wise, and certainly that's reflected in the reports, and, you know, that we have recommendations and that I feel like the city's been responsive to those. I did want to follow up on a couple things. As Rochelle was talking about some of the financial information, I thought, well, you're in good company. I'm starting to see with many of my clients, they're looking at some of the trends and thinking ahead to a little bit of belt tightening, or, you know, they maybe also had a couple years where they said, well, the finances were pretty strong. But now looking ahead, they want to be, very even keel on the budgeting. And the other thing is, I recall last year when I spoke with you, there was some net asset, unrestricted net asset situation. So commend you for that and the work and the budgeting that it took to get there as well. So with that, I just would like to open up for any questions you have of me.
Well, thank you very much. And Councilman O'Malley, I believe you have a question.
I actually have questions for staff and not for the auditor. If we're ready for that, if anyone else has questions for the auditor, I'd defer.
Councilmember Luna.
Yeah, I know that we've asked in the past if you could submit the audit on a disk or something so that we could put it on our website. Is that?
Yes, absolutely, and we've done that for some other clients. We'd be happy to provide that to you as well.
Terrific, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is that it for the...
Well, thank you very much for allowing Glenn Burdett, Phillips, and Bryson to be your independent auditors. I've enjoyed working with the city.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember O'Malley, you have a question?
Thank you. Actually, several questions for Rochelle and maybe our city clerk. One thing, following up on a previous meeting, I think a citizen raised some concerns about tracking invoices and how we might make sure we have assurances that we're paying our bills and not overpaying our bills. I was satisfied that we have good controls in place. However, I think I've heard in the community there was some concern. It sounded like a citizen discovered an error and brought it to our attention, and I've learned that that's actually not the case. That was a not well stated, and I would like to review a little bit with the city clerk just what the process was on the citizen request for information, because I understand the citizen was actually told about that there was some discrepancies and they'd already been corrected, and this person was aware of that before bringing it to our attention. So I want to make sure the public is well aware that staff actually had not only discovered this through their normal process, resolved it, and then I'd like to make sure our accounting staff could review that a little bit too, because I think the public needs to be assured you have a lot of controls in place. So our city clerk, I know you were involved with this request for information. Could you review what actually happened for the record?
Yes, the citizen came to a council meeting and was concerned about a particular vendor that we use and wanted to ask for to see the invoices for that person. And I believe at the time he was talking, he had first said, yeah, he did just want the July and August, but then when I said that the others were available, he said he might as well have all of them. And then I mentioned to him about the duplicate payment. Because
so you told the citizen about the duplicate payment?
Yes.
And that it had already been resolved by our staff internal controls.
Yes, I just wanted him to know so that when he got the invoices, it would be clear. He actually had quoted a price because he had had a total the night before at the council meeting. He said to me, well, then my figures must have been that much off. And I said, yeah, they would have been, because when you were looking at that, you didn't realize those were duplicate payments. So he was aware of it. And in fact, even the invoice, one of the invoices I gave him from the vendor shows the credit already being corrected. So the vendor had already been notified of it, and he had already fixed it.
Okay, well, I think that's important for the public to know, because folks listening to the citizen at the podium got the impression that he acquired some information and discovered an error, when in fact
you had called him and told him about the error and that it had already been corrected. So he had that information before he brought this to our attention.
The first meeting, he didn't know about it when he first said he wanted to see the invoices. When he came back to the next council meeting and said he had made this discovery, I had already told him.
You told him the discovery that he made. Okay, I think that's important for the public to know, and I did want to make sure you are confident. I know we have internal controls, and I've managed, large public sector budgets like yours, and I know there's many internal controls, and we also have an outside audit. So you're confident. Apparently, this situation was brought to light. Your staff had already corrected before it was brought up at a council meeting.
We are very confident that our internal controls are appropriate and that these types of things don't happen. We have lots of internal controls that are set up to prevent this type of thing from happening, and we have just as many internal controls to detect this type of thing happening after the fact. One of those detection internal controls did detect this particular error. I'd be happy to go over with anybody what internal controls they are, but there's a long drawn out list, so I'm not sure that that's what you're looking for tonight.
Sure, and I've reviewed that. I'm confident, and I do want to thank staff for their work on that. I do have now some additional questions on your presentation tonight, and as you did point out, we have had great historical growth. We've accomplished a lot of projects the last few years, and we were able to plan. We actually, even though we accomplished a lot, we set aside savings for a number of years. However, we're projecting this is the first year we're actually going to go.
Our revenue growth.
Sure. But we have prepared for us because not only did we accomplish a lot, we planned for bad times.
Absolutely. In those good times, we put away savings so that we can get through these in order to smooth out expenses and rather than jerk our expenses to follow the revenue cycle.
Sure. And there are some time lags of how things are reported. And we are talking about really a fiscal year that ended last June 30th. And is this the first time we've had a decline in sales tax, and how long of a period? I didn't notice the trend.
Again, I think I'm trying to remember. We did have one decline in around 2004, about the same time as our negative. But we have, in general, since 2000, had positive sales tax growth. Some of it hasn't been, huge, but other than 2004, I believe that's the only year.
And I do think we, as a council, I'm sure we are all going to want to track our revenue and cost projections and actuals to budget a little closer this year. I am concerned that not only are our revenues trending down, I'm not sure if all the costs that are trending up are recorded in our budget, and maybe they are. But for example, I was very pleased, wasn't pleased when I came on earlier and found out we had a $20 million road problem, and we put a lot of effort into that. And then I think Mr. Brindler asked the city engineer last time, how are we doing on roads? Well, we have a $30 million problem, and how did it go up $10 million when we were working so hard? And it was obvious the costs of materials have actually gone up more in a year than we could even address. So not only are our revenues trending down, are the costs that we are facing, are they reflected in the budget anywhere in terms of, you might say, projected projects that we're going to need to face? Are the cost estimates for those problems, so to speak, also adjusted in the budget?
We believe they are. There are always some areas that come out throughout the year where something happens that wasn't in the budget. I believe the water company just did some very substantial water increases. It's been a dry year. We know that, water costs in the Parks Department so far this year are going to be a problem. But other than that, again, we watch this very closely. We try and look at, when we're budgeting, what do we think the trends are going to be, and that. Certainly with capital projects, our bids have surprised us.
Correct.
And as my understanding of reserves, what's our total amount in reserves? That's okay. Ballpark guess. We're not going to hold you down to the dollar or the penny.
Well, and reserves has such a different meaning. I mean, if you
include
cash flows and all of that stuff, you're looking at about $10 million.
Yeah, because that was my point. I believe even though we have fairly large number that you can look at called reserves. You could divide it in at least three categories. We have designated reserves, which in a sense means they've already been spent, or they're categorical funding, which means you don't have the flexibility that the average person might think or like. But in addition, we also have some that are just for cash flow needs, and I think that might be good for folks to understand that that's really changed and has a significant impact on our budget this year. In other words, we need to have more money on, as we depend more on specialized funding, government grants and et cetera, often it's a cash reimbursed situation. So you have to make the expenditure and then you get reimbursed, and that can take a while. And so then, now, how does that impact the cash reserves that we need?
You're absolutely correct. There's a combination of things going on, significantly more this fiscal year, in recent fiscal years, as we've been able to do things like the Youth Center or Lewis Avenue Bridge or items where we get grants. We are having significant outflows of cash, and it may be anywhere from 6 months to a year before we get reimbursed from the state. In addition to that, we have become more dependent on property tax as the state has taken some of our revenues like motor vehicle in lieu or sales tax, which we got on a monthly basis, and changed them to a property tax basis where we get them twice a year. The amount of cash that we have to have on hand at June 30th in order to get us through the end of December when we get our cash in is significant. I think I was looking at it today, and we're down about $11 million in cash from where we were at June 30th. Again, we plan for that. That's part of our cash flow reserve. Some of that money we are going to get back from FEMA or OES, and certainly we're going to replenish this month as we get our property taxes.
So it's kind of like looking at your checking account. Just as soon as the deposit is made in your account doesn't mean you can spend it, because you probably have some bills coming you've already planned for. So what's our discretionary amount of reserves at this point, would you say? Ballpark.
Officially, it's about two.
Councilmember Clay.
Rochelle, didn't at one time, were you not auditing the city?
I was.
Yes, I remember that. You know, you give a lot of credit to the council, and I'd like to give some credit to you and,
yes,
and Wade. You know, over the years, I think you constantly say the council is doing this and doing that, and you're really giving us great direction, and that's the reason we're in the shape we are right now. So
yes,
thank you.
Are there any other questions? Thank you, Rochelle. So what I'm hearing you saying to be, we should be frugal with our expenditures in the near future. Is that?
That's correct. We're in good, solid shape. Don't go spend happy. We got to watch it.
All right. Are there?
Is it?
Do we? I open it to the. I need to open it to the public.
Yeah.
Does the public? Would the public like to comment, Eric?
Welcome. You. Yes, I am Eric Greening, and I'll start by congratulating you on your rotation as mayor and Councilwoman Barreau as mayor pro tem, and I'd certainly like to thank Councilman Luna for his service as mayor through some rugged, bumpy times, but always running the meetings with civility. A couple of questions. One, and again, I second what Mr. Clay says about Rochelle and her very fine work. Just the fact that the auditor wasn't able to find, you know, that it made sense and was apparently an easy audit to do speaks well of her efforts. My first question is the TDA then down in exact proportion to the sales tax as a whole? And that, of course, we're midway through this fiscal year now, so how is it trending now? Fortunately, I see that the Regional Transit Authority made a decision on contractor that will probably be a fiscally prudent decision for the next few years relative to the draw of the Regional Transit Service on our local TDA. However, if we need to adjust that service, we may need to be prepared for some costs, depending on just how much the North County Shuttle fills the breach. Because the work on the transit center seems to now be on a much... So although we have some very good news on TDA relative to the draw at continuing levels of service from the RTA, we probably also have some service issues with the way it's now structured. I have a question relative to money from the RCD on a project that has not yet been completed, the Creek Trail project. Where does that now sit in the budget? It was supposed to have been expended, and I don't quite know how to account for it. I look forward to being able to look at this at leisure on the web, and I'd like to thank Councilmember Luna for making that request. But that particular piece seems to be kind of hard to track and figure out. And then the big question on the road repair costs, I think the Council of Government has information that indeed over the last 4 years there has been an extremely dramatic spike in those costs. It has currently taken something of a breather in the process of spiking, which may be related to the incipient recession that we may or may not be falling into. But whether it takes off again, I think, does depend on the global economy and various issues with energy that are pretty much out of our hands. What is in our hands is our legislative platform and how we relate to the state budget. And I see that at the very tail end of the agenda, Wade is going to give a legislative briefing. I would like to suggest that if some of what Wade was going to say relates to the state budget and its impact on our city, it might be appropriate now if we're using this opportunity to look ahead and see if we need either any course corrections or any real legislative activism. And I would especially point out that I think we definitely need to move transportation spending, and particularly spending for roads, into the hands of drivers and vehicle purchasers and make it less of a draw on our city's general fund. When the state chopped the vehicle license fee by 2/3, it deprived local government of a user fee that could have been fixing a lot of roads without drawing on our general fund. It's also true that if the gasoline tax had been indexed a few years ago before the price started to spike, if there had been a guaranteed flow from that source into the city, again, we wouldn't be
through our audit. So you will not see that anywhere. I believe RCD is a separate entity, and they should have financial statements and information on that. He also asked about TDA revenues versus sales tax, and as our sales tax trends downward, would we expect the same from TDA? That one's a little bit harder to discuss. They are connected, however, it's not such a direct connect that you go, oh, okay, sales tax went down 9%, my TDA revenue went down 9%. There's a lot of other factors that go into it. And in fact, that was one of the areas, not just TDA, but STA, spillover from STA, and transportation funding. That's one of the areas when I was at the league last week, they said, watch your pocketbooks on. So we're watching those revenues carefully.
All right, thank you. And Councilmember O'Malley, I believe you have a question.
Well, I was going to respond to some of the questions raised, because many of those are San Luis Obispo Council of Governments and Regional Transit Authority issues, and I've followed up on those with our city engineer. One thing I think was brought up about the transit center, that is a high priority, of course, for the Council of Governments. I am really concerned for this council that we did miss a funding cycle. We wanted to position ourselves to have those funds available. We did get on the planning cycle. However, we are about to start some public hearing process, and we have to select a site. And until we actually name a site, we can't get a placeholder for the funding cycle. So we're off a year, and I think we're going to have to make sure we are prepared to do that. And we also one more of those many things that will be competing for that small discretionary reserve. I think that's a priority, and there will be some 1B funding available for that transit center, but we're going to need some matching funds, and we're also going to have to be very proactive, or we could miss another budget cycle on that. Second issue was brought up about park and ride, and I have been advocating for some time, and believe I'm successful, along with our city engineer, of we're going to be recommended for a couple of $100,000 to get some additional paving for a park and ride out at the Lake Park Zoo area. And I think that's very strategic because, of course, that's something that can be used by our public many times in addition to a park and ride. And so I think that's something we want to look at. And I do think probably, I don't want to review it, but we have to remember. That's why I deliberately said SLOW COG is San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. We've mentioned TDA, RTA, RCD. We mean, and I know Mr. Greening knows what they all mean. We need to remember for our general public what all these organizations that are actually outside of the council's jurisdiction but are doing things that impact our lives. So thank Mr. Greening for bringing some of those to our attention.
All right, do we have any other comments from council or questions from council?
Just one. Tom makes a good point. We use initials all the time, and I think it's important that we use the words and not the initials because the general public and myself sometimes don't know those initials.
I agree. I think that would help educate the public as well. Do we need a motion, or is this just receive and file? Do we have consensus? Receive and file this? Thank you very much, Rochelle. We'll move on to our next public hearing, item B2, Planning and Zoning Text Amendment, and that'll be presented by Deputy Community Development Director Steve McCarris.
Thank you, Mayor Brendler, members of the council. Tonight we have PLN 2007-1238, which is some house cleaning to Title IX of Planning and Zoning, Tascadero Municipal Code.
I can't hear you real good, Stephen.
Could we get the mic turned up? Whoever's, thank you. We have four items. Is this loud enough for you? Okay, we have four items before you. They're relatively minor. I'm going to review those with you tonight. And they're proposed for clarification and consistency with the general plan. The first one's to amend the processing time of planning applications. The second is to extend the permit approval period for planning entitlements from 12 to 24 months. The third is to change the RSF Y and Z minimum lot size from net to gross area. This is to be consistent with the general plan, and also noting there would be no change in the addressing this. We've been processing projects per the general plan, not the out-of-date zoning text, so we're just bringing this into conformance. And fourthly, changing the current 10-foot minimum setback from an act of municipal code consistent with the California Permit Streamlining Act, which is California law. The California law does dictate we use that 30-day period, so we just wanted to make that consistent. Currently, the applicants must resubmit planning applications within 90 days, or the application is deemed withdrawn. Well, for the sake of customer service, et cetera, we're proposing that the applicants be allowed to have up to 12 months to resubmit those plans, and after 12 months, the plan application would then be withdrawn. The second section involves extending the approval time for planning entitlements. Currently, the CUPs and precise plans expire 12 months after their approval date. However, the tentative tract maps, which go along with the CUPs or precise plans, those entitlements or those approvals expire within 24 months. So we're just trying to bring those back into consistency, allowing a 24-month approval for all of the items. The third section is dealing with that RSF Y and Z, the minimum lot size, and that's what I just mentioned, that the general plan called for minimum lot size from, or the change to go, the proposal is to change to go from net to gross, and that was just a consistency issue. What I'm showing, or what we're showing here in the exhibit in the corner of the screen is just reviewing the gross areas, the total lot size quite often. In this example, the lot goes out into the center of the street, so the net subtracts that area out of the street. For the Y and the Z, we go from the net to the gross, consistent with the general plan. Also noting that the X would continue to use the net area of the lot, which was per the general plan. That would not change. In the fourth section, we have currently subdivision ordinance requires a 10-foot minimum setback from access ways, flag lots, regarding flag lots and access easements that quite often act as the flag on a flag lot or the stem of a flag lot. The proposal is for a 5-foot setback. In this exhibit, this clearly shows a flag lot to the back. You have the front lot, flag lot in the back. Whether this was in fee ownership or whether it was an easement allowing access to the back portion of this parcel, the setback would change from 10 feet to 5 feet. That would be consistent with any normal residential parcel where a 5-foot side yard setback would be required. This proposal is exempt from CEQA, and your findings are contained in your staff report. Your alternatives are to make modifications to these amendments or ask for more information. You may also deny the project. That concludes our presentation. Planning Commission is recommending approval.
I'm concerned about giving too much time because sometimes, you know, laws change, and when it comes back for renewal, we can catch up on, you know, new codes or new policies or things like that. So I'm concerned about extending that time period. Can you give me a little feedback from a planning point of view?
Well, I think just practically speaking, a year is probably fairly reasonable in our experience. We've noticed that things that and items or time frames that are less than a year quite often than we have renewals coming back more often. So it's creating more work for the applicant, more work for staff to process something that might not really need to occur. And then in terms of the economic cycle that we've just reviewed with the previous presentation, we're finding now, and we're going to find definitely more so in the next couple years, that this will be considered short to some, where it might have been considered long in a very fast-paced economic world.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. First, for our city attorney, many of these changes are basically ordinance changing to bring our ordinance in line with state law and the general plan. We don't really have an option on those, do we?
You do need to change your ordinances, as you've indicated, for those reasons.
Yes, so that's, in a sense, not optional on our part. The one thing I was not clear on was the slide you had on setbacks, if you could bring that up again. And now, is that based on some changes in law as well, or I wasn't sure what the gist of this was?
No, that is not based on the changes in the law. That's based on a practical application of side yard setbacks. There's where in this particular case, a 10-foot setback has been required.
And we only need a 5-foot
setback. Only in this case does it come up where we need that 10-foot side. The 10-foot isn't really required, isn't needed
right.
For any particular reason. That 5-foot is satisfactory as it is for every other side yard setback in all the residential zones.
So we're being consistent.
We'll just
make it a 5-foot setback uniformly.
It makes it easier to understand for all parties.
Yeah, I think that's easier for the public. Good. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Council Member Luna?
With respect to flag lots, are they still net or are they going to be gross? And so, for example, would you count the flag?
No, we don't count the stem on the flag.
Okay, thank you.
Open it to the public. Anybody from the public wishing to comment on this matter? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council. Entertain. Or is there any other discussion? Entertain a motion.
I move we approve staff's recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Biro, second by Councilmember Luna. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Luna?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Biro?
Yes.
Mayor Brendler?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
All right, we'll move on to our last matter on public hearing, item B3, zoning text amendment, plan development overlay district 9. That'll also be presented by Deputy Community Development Director Steve McCarris. Prior to that, we have a disclosure ex parte, and we'll move from Councilmember Clay this direction.
No comment.
No disclosure. I had met with Westpac folks a number of years ago and reviewed some of the project issues, and the last meeting I had was, I checked with our staff, was May of 2006, had a meeting with staff and with the Westpac Investment Group, I believe, and I believe at the time, just showing how things changed, they were considering coming to council asking if they could change commercial to residential, and after I stopped laughing and staff stopped laughing, I believe I said, well, you got to think about trying a hotel or motel, and then after they stopped laughing, we concluded the meeting. So that was the gist of our discussion. I'm glad to see we're coming back and considering a possible motel.
My only contact with representatives of Westpac was this evening, and it was no discussion of business, just cordial a greeting.
I've had no contact except meeting him today, tonight.
As with me, I only met them tonight and had no contact on the issue.
Northwest, we have the vacant area, which is subject to most of what we're going to be discussing tonight. A little bit of background, the Commercial Park Zoning District was established for light industrial type uses, except for large planned centers with an anchor tenant. And the Home Depot Center, of course, qualified for that anchor tenant, and the PD9 then was established for the center. And when in doing so, the PD9 also eliminated some of the more intensive industrial type uses because of the commercial nature of the project. Also, in adopting that project, there was the approved master plan, which I had previously shown you the exhibit to, which identified the retail, drive-through restaurants, which ended up being the Starbucks, and a gas station, which is yet to be seen. The proposed request by the applicant is to add the hotels and motels to the list of conditionally allowed uses in that PD9. It does not exist today. This approval of this request would allow the owners to pursue hotel and motel use for the site, which would likely be that vacant portion of the site. Another portion of this request is involving eating and drinking places. A little bit of background is eating and drinking places use was to include all restaurants with or without drive-through facilities. However, that definition changed in 2005 to separate the drive-through restaurants as a unique use. In doing so, the PD9 wasn't considered at the time, so this is a little bit of housekeeping for the PD9 to make that consistent. So at this time, we would have update the text. The Home Depot Center Master Plan would be showing the one drive-through. Well, it's showing the one drive-through Starbucks. We're just updating the text. Nothing's really changing to the site. And that's what we're showing, is adding eating and drinking places with drive-through facilities to the PD9 text. The last thing was just a little bit of housekeeping on this sewer connection item. Originally, the PD9 text allowed for septic or sewer hookup. That text remained, even though sewer had since been constructed and does serve the site. So we're just adding to the text in the PD9 that all new development into the future would connect to the city sewer system. So that, again, is just a housekeeping item. So the gist of it is a little bit of housekeeping. The main point of this request is to add the motel-hotel use. There is environmental determination enclosed in your staff report, and there are findings for certification of that environmental determination as well as the zone text amendment and your alternative.
As the project was built, that more infrastructure improvements would happen. I'm thinking of the overpass that's in really poor condition. Is that all completed?
Yes, all components are completed in that project except a signal out front of the project site.
Okay. So is a hotel considered a more intensive use in terms of traffic impacts than what the approved project was?
Overall, that would be less impacts than
less impact.
Commercial
okay.
program for the site.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So actually, it would be a projected a less impact if we could get a hotel over the retail use that was originally planned?
That's correct.
And did they, were they already assessed fees at the time based on the expected use at the time? We have a different fee structure now. I'm just wondering how that was accounted for.
The fees are collected when we issue the building permit. So depending on
fees.
The size of the structure, the circulation fee would be assessed at that point. The we do have a preliminary traffic study from the applicant that shows the hotel to be a less intensive use. So we will be confident that our existing infrastructure that was proposed for the site will be sufficient to handle the project at build out.
Very good. So actually the impact will be reduced, and is my understanding, is it true that the revenue you would project to be higher for that square footage if you're looking at transient occupancy tax at 10% versus your 1% sales tax?
Yes, that's correct.
Do we have any? Well, it's premature to get
yes,
our
we don't have set. The hotel or motel.
Yes, okay, thank you.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes. Many hotels have restaurant facilities or some type of restaurant facilities. Is that a possibility? Or?
Yes.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions from council? Seeing none, we'll open it up to the public and or to the applicant. And Mr. Coding? Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Welcome. Mr. Mayor. My name is Connor Best. I'm here with my associate, Peter Ketting, on behalf of Westar Associates. I believe you referred to it as Westpac,
right.
But that's all right. No matter. We've reviewed staff reports and agree with their findings and recommendations. I'd like to commend them on their work at this time.
Are there any questions from council?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Do you have a potential tenant?
We've been contacted by several national hotel chains, as well as Jim Lewis has been contacted by a national hotel chain. He contacted our marketing department. So we had considered this use for the site before, but we would just like it to be spelled out in the zoning plan.
Thank you.
Councilmember O'Malley, did you have a question?
That was my question. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Other members from public? Eric?
Thank you. I am Eric Greening, and I'm very much in support of the site-specific part of this application. I'm questioning what seems to be attaching a city-wide policy decision, even if it's called a clarification relative to drive-through type businesses, and I'm wondering how that relates to the environmental determination that's in front of you. Are we to understand that the drive-through thing is a citywide policy change? And if so, how can it be said that relative to air quality, it has no impact? Drive-through businesses attract chains of idling vehicles, and they often do it in very close proximity to where pedestrians are and people who work in these establishments and have to inhale this stuff. Also, I question traffic, no impact. Again, I can be convinced in relation to the site-specific part that the substitution of one use for another would have a net neutral or positive effect. But if we're talking about a citywide policy to encourage drive-through businesses, I definitely think we need to detach that and put it on a separate track with separate environmental review. Perhaps I'm just confused about something or missing something, but I simply don't see how those environmental findings can be made relative to drive-through businesses as a policy question. And also, of course, the consistency of drive-through businesses with our signing of the U.S. Mayor's Climate Protection Agreement. Again, I don't know that that's a type of business we should be encouraging in our city. Thank you.
Welcome, Joanne.
Good evening. One area where you can make some positive statements for tourism development. I'm a little concerned that our neighbors to the north have added about as many rooms to their stock as we currently have in town. So I think in order to keep up with the Joneses, we're going to need to do more. We can't rely on their events and their assets anymore to really fill our rooms, because they have more rooms now to fill. And with that said, we have a lot of assets in town that need to be looked at and developed. And one in particular that I think I sat on for a one-year group studying, a group of citizens studying how we want to see the Stadium Park developed. And, you know, those are the kinds of assets that we need to take a good hard look at to create the interest for people to come here and support their project and fill their rooms and garner that 10% tax. So with all that said, I urge you to approve that tonight and look ahead to the future of promoting and helping development of tourism. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to comment on this matter? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to council. Are there any other questions or comments?
I move approval of the zoning text amendment, plan development overlay, district number 9, on the 2007-1248-800-955 El Camino Real by West Star Associates.
Second.
Discussion? Mayor Pro Tem Bayrou?
I just thought maybe we should comment on Eric's questions, because I don't believe that the drive-through situation was just more bringing the PD9 up to what we do now, which is a conditional use permit, versus a change in policy citywide. I just thought maybe Steve could address that, just so there's no confusion on what we're doing with drive-throughs.
Yes, thank you. That was a good comment, and I do want to clarify that in 05, the change was to require to separate the drive-through component out, to require them as conditional use, to require them as conditional use permits rather than allowed uses. So it does allow the city to review each drive-through independently rather than have them process through as a building permit, or it allows more review. So it was a stricter standard for drive-throughs. Applying to the PD9 was
brought up that starting your car is one of the worst pollution times, and actually a car idling is not emitting as much pollution as stopping and going in and then coming out and starting your car. So maybe I'm wrong, but I remember that very well.
Call a question.
Just a comment. I'm excited about the potential of this site to generate TOT tax, but I, too, am a little bit concerned about the issue of another drive-through restaurant. We'll call for the question. We have a motion by Councilmember O'Malley, second by Councilman Clay. Roll call, please.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Luna?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bayrou?
Yes.
Mayor Brendler?
Yes.
5-0. Motion passes.
Good enough.
That concludes our.
Thank you.
Public hearings. We'll now move on to a community forum. For those in the public that would like to speak on items that were not on the agenda, please approach the podium and provide your name and provide your statement. And please again be respectful to those in the audience. Welcome,
and congratulations, Mr. Mayor Brendler. It's pleasant to see you there, and I also like to commend your predecessor, George Luna, for handling things in a very enlightened way, considering some of the problems that did arise. And congratulations to Ellen Bayrou to be Mayor Pro Tem. If I haven't said so already, I'm Geraldine Brazier-Femister, and actually I'm here tonight as a member a board member of the Atascadero Land Preservation Society. This is the 12th year our society has sponsored the Christmas tree of the pavilion, and that the Hidden Springs Tree Farm has provided the tree. This year, however, we have changed the lighting system. We've become greener now. Instead of the regular lights that have a very limited lifespan, we have invested in commercial quality and a commercial quality LED system. The lights will burn for 50,000 hours. That's what they say. They take 0.2 watts each and draw only 0.016 amps. So they're much more economical to use, as well as generating much less heat than the old system. We're very pleased to be able to participate in making Atascadero a festive place during the holiday season, and we're happy to join with Main Street and the city and other organizations that make our place a nice place to live. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry, and thank you for those kind words. Mr. Greening, you're a busy man tonight.
I'm Eric Greening, and I'm glad to see that sort of change happening. And again, it is in connection with our participation in the U.S. Mayor's Climate Protection Agreement. I hope that we continue to be as aware of it in our daily comings and goings and in our daily lives, and work ceaselessly. There are cities that can provide a very strong model for working on all the different angles, from transportation to sequestration. Arcata, for example, I think you've been given at some point in a few months back some handouts relative to their program. Anyway, I'm here now. I've already congratulated and thanked, and with the new mayor and so forth, I would like to hope that we can raise the question of terminating the experiment of moving public comment to a late and completely unpredictable point in the meeting. The obvious result has been that many fewer people participate, and while from some points of view that could be considered positive if you don't like to listen to a long chain of people raising their concerns, it does seem that city government is at its most responsive when indeed all of those concerns are heard and are easily aired. And the way that that can happen is to have it happen at a predictable time. I'm particularly aware, looking back at how we got the U.S. Mayor's Climate Protection Agreement in front of you in the first place, and how it was signed, the robust participation of the youth was a very, very important ingredient in that. And that was only possible because the time to raise issues not on the agenda and get them addressed was at an early and predictable time. It's not possible for the youth or for many other segments of the community, some of the elders, people who are dependent on others for transportation, to be here an indefinite period waiting for the opportunity to bring things to your attention. So I would hope now with the new leadership that we take a fresh look at this question and recognize that government isn't always meant to move quickly or be convenient relative to meetings being short or anything like that. Government is first and most of all intended to be responsive. And the organizational chart of our city starts with the people at the top, and then your council, and then your staff serving the people. And by and large, you do a good job, but you would do an even better job if you made it easier for people to raise issues and put them in front of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Welcome, Steve.
Good evening, Council. I'm Steve Martin with the Atascadero Main Street Program, and I want to take a few minutes to familiarize you with our progress on the Winter Wonderland event, which will be coming up this Friday. And I spoke before you once before about this, and I want to report that plans are going very well for that This event is going to be twice as large as it has been in years past and almost twice as long. Instead of 6 to 9 p.m., we'll be going 5 to 10 p.m. on Friday evening. We will have twice as much snow. We'll have two entertainment stages. We'll be using areas in the downtown, including East Mall, the Sunken Gardens, West Mall, Saks Alley, Entrada, and Palma. We'll be bringing in over 2 tons of snow, including a new snowboard demonstration in front of the Mobley's Board Shop. And we have upwards of 50 vendors joining what I hope will be many of our downtown merchants open that evening to provide shopping opportunities for our citizens and for visitors. Of those vendors, we have vendors coming from as far away as Santa Cruz to participate in this. Last year, as you may remember, we had upwards of 5,000 people at this event. We're hopeful that we'll top that again this year, and it will continue to grow and be a very significant event for the downtown. The last time I spoke to you, I said we had two major challenges this year. One was raising enough money to pay for the additional snow and porta potties and hay bales and fencing and stages. We're still closing in on that. We may dip a little bit into the red ink this year, but I think we're going to come pretty close. The second issue was the issue of volunteers. As the crowds have grown and the venue has grown, the number of people required just to execute this event has grown. And we estimated that we'd need at least 40 bodies on site this Friday to run the event. As of today, we've pretty well covered that thanks to the efforts of people from Kennedy Motorcycles downtown, the Kiwanis Club, Atascadero High School students, a crew from Calvary Chapel, folks volunteering from Arlene's Flowers, the Spa Central Coast, our board members and families, and a long list of people that have just volunteered from the community, including Councilman O'Malley and his wife, who will be down there between 7:30 and 10 helping me pick up trash, and I appreciate that. We always have room for more volunteers if people are interested in helping out. We'll have bounce houses this year. That the proceeds from the bounce house will go towards a local youth charity. I believe it's Toys for Tots. And then one of the major concerns we've had as the event has grown over the years is the availability of parking. As you know, our parking downtown is impacted on a daily basis, and particularly impacted during Winter Wonderland because we close the streets, and therefore we lose parking. This year we've arranged to use a parking space at the Fine Arts Academy. That'll be operated by Atascadero BMX. There'll be a $5 parking fee, and that money will go to support Atascadero BMX. So we are looking forward to a huge event coming up on Friday. We hope everybody will turn out and enjoy the holiday season in downtown Atascadero. And I also want to say that Santa Claus will indeed be there. He'll be arriving by pedicab. So thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. And again, Joanne Main. And want to commend the council on your change of guard. And I understand with that there's probably going to be some change in appointments to committees. And one committee that I enjoy attending is the Finance Committee. But it's difficult for me to sometimes come because of the short notice of when those meetings are going to be held. And I was just wondering if it was a possibility, just like your council meetings are on a certain Tuesday of the month, if the Finance Committee meetings could also follow some regular schedule. Given a three-day notice on a calendar that fills weeks ahead, it's difficult to attend. And I really enjoy going there. It's a lot of great information. And I also understand that you will be reappointing who will be on that committee. And I urge you to do so. In the past, the council has always had a balanced effect on that finance committee, one from both sides of the council, so to speak. So I would urge that long tradition to be honored and continue so that we have input and can know that our finances are being very well looked after. The other thing is that Eric brought up about changing the public forum comment period to the beginning again. I do believe there is a facility or a way to a citizen to get in a, excuse me, an item placed on the agenda. And if it's so important, I mean, I would rather see an item agendized or have that request go either to the city manager or the mayor, put the item on the agenda, and have that done in an orderly fashion. What I have witnessed since you have changed this is that you all are able to listen and be alert and be able to give your utmost attention to the business matters of the community that really are the backbone of the work that you do. I think there's plenty of time for folks to give their public input at the end of the meeting. And here it is. It's not even that late. It's not even 9 o'clock, and I am at the end of it. And to me, that's a reasonable hour that many other individuals could have been here tonight. And there's no reason why our city council meetings can't be at this hour to be at the end, and people can come forward. So I urge you to continue that. I think it's working well. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. Do we have comments from council? Mayor or Councilman Member O'Malley?
Yeah, I was just going to respond to a comment by Eric Greening. I do disagree with one point. Since I was the mayor at the time, we did the mayor's climate control initiative, and I was well aware of the issues, also being chairperson of the county's air pollution control district board at the time. And I think something that was very helpful for me is one or two students did approach me and talk, and I don't know that I think it was probably good for the public to hear, but it tended to get repetitious when you did sometimes on public comment. What I found very helpful is when it first came up, I began a regular meeting with the youth that you saw coming forward and met with them here at City Hall, brought in staff to discuss their issues and concerns, and that's really how we hammered out a lot of ideas on the Mayor's Climate Control Initiative. And I think that's also a good use of our time, and I know Mayor Luna has done that in the past. I encourage Mayor Brindler to look at that as an option, that when an issue comes up, we can take that and then have a meeting and allow for extra input. And as was brought up by Joanne Main, hopefully any of us could, which I think we represent a pretty wide range of the community, I would hope any of us could bring something to the council's attention, at least get it agendized. And I think it is good when we can do that on these issues, where we can have some staff preparation and really give some things some attention. So I know we're going to reconsider some options on that, and I agree with Councilman Clay. It probably ought to be at the front of the meeting, as he originally did, and I agree with Councilman Luna. We probably need to discuss a little bit more at some future time.
Just going to comment this opportunity to have brief responses to the public comment. And as far as Mr. Greening, your comment, you raised the issue of public forum, moving it to the front. And we need to restructure the ordinance anyway. This would be a great time, and to be efficient, to try to get this all resolved at the same time. And that's what I'd like us, you know, to do, is to agendize it.
I had a comment
please.
Along those same lines, and I think there's a real misunderstanding about community forum versus public comment. They're not the same. We have agendized items, and people, for example, let's just take the budget is probably the best example, although the audit is another example. And when the council gets to those items very late, 11, 12 o'clock, people are discouraged from speaking, taking their 5 minutes to comment on probably the most important policy document that the city does.
Right.
And so I think that we should be very, very careful about how much community forum is allowed before we actually get to the business of the city, because it actually prevents people from commenting on the issues that are before the council. Probably the optimal thing is, that Councilmember O'Malley suggested, was if it's so important, it ought to be on a council agenda, and then it will come earlier in the evening. So I concur with what has been said so far, but I think this is a complicated issue and we need to discuss it.
Well, I'd like to personally see it brought back. So we can discuss it, because I think we really do need to resolve this. We have many in the public who would like the opportunity to speak, but I'd also I think it would be important to have some, you know, adhere to strict guidelines as far as the time, so that it doesn't drag on for hours at the beginning of the meeting. But do we have consensus to bring this back?
Yep.
It appears that we do.
Well, I got my number.
Council. Or Mayor Pro Tem Bureau?
I just think it's been working so well the way it is. I'm kind of afraid to touch it. personally. So I'm willing to let this experiment go on longer before we address it, because you know, we have. It's been great being able to have a normal life by not having to be here for hours of. I don't mind listening to people, but what happens is we also get polarized by listening to endless public comment, and then we comment on the public comment, and then it just makes everything longer. So I'm not really that interested in bringing this up and arguing about it, and I'm a little doubtful that we're going to be able to come to a good conclusion.
I'm concerned we may be arguing about it too much right now, and it's not an agendized item, and I think we had council consensus to actually bring back and have that very discussion. Maybe our city attorney would comment on...
I think that city staff has enough direction at this point that it can come back on your next agenda and you can talk about it then, if that's their direction.
And I have a procedural question then. In the capacity of mayor, maybe in the mayor, can I request that to be done?
Yes.
Then let's please do that. Yeah. Councilmember O'Malley, did you have a question?
No, I
did.
All right. And the I'd like to comment on Steve Martin's Bravo and Winter Wonderland. I'll have the kids bring their snow mittens, have a lot of fun. And that's on December the 14th. And yes, this Friday night. I'll certainly be there. And Joanne Main raised the issue of Finance Committee, some advanced noticing. Wade, are we able to address that at all?
We can provide additional days notice if you would like. The committee doesn't meet on a regular basis, so we don't know a month out if it's going to meet. The next meeting likely for the Finance Committee would be the review of the Human Resources Grant in the springtime.
All right. I think if we can give any advance notice on those, so the public could participate.
We'll give as much as we can.
That would be great. Thank you.
Well,
Councilmember O'Malley, Councilmember Clay, you have a question.
Right. I'm the old guy. But anyway, Joanne also made a comment about having the Finance Committee represented with both sides of the aisle, so to speak. And so just keep that in mind.
Well, I'm in the middle.
Not exactly.
He is now.
Are there any other questions or comments by council? Then let's move on to council announcements and reports. Councilmember O'Malley, you?
Yeah, I was trying to decide where the appropriate point was to mention this, and I think we just got the old chief here. Where's the new chief? I just did want to comment and really welcome, thank our past chief on just an excellent job. But I did want to also commend our new chief, Mulhall. I've worked with him for a number of years at the Sheriff's Department when I was the computer guy at the Sheriff's Department for 5 years. So I've known Jim for many years, and I just know he'll be a real asset to our community and is very active in our community. And he's certainly done his part in adding to our community with about 10 kids, I think. So welcome aboard, Jim, wherever you are.
He's in the parking lot giving tickets.
Oh, excellent.
I would certainly ditto that. Jim used to show up on many a call that I was on with his bomb suit, and I was very appreciative to have him handle those situations as opposed to me. So are there any other announcements or council announcements or reports?
Let's go on. Committee reports.
All right, we'll move on to committee reports. Mayor Pro Tem Bayrou.
No report.
Council Member Luna.
Yeah, the mayors of San Luis Obispo County met on Friday, and Jim Patterson was there also. But and there were two issues that really stuck out, and we talked about one already, which had to do with the state's being $10 to $15 billion in the red, and that we should protect our funds. The other one was the county BID, Business Improvement District, that Atascadero and I guess Morro Bay and the county signed up on. Well, it turns out that the rest of the mayors don't seem to be interested, and in fact, the Morro Bay mayor was, Janice Peters, was so discouraged that she went back, and I think that they are rethinking their support of the BID idea. It appears that each of the cities wants to go their own way. So that would mean if Morro Bay steps back, that Atascadero and the county would be the only ones. And so maybe we should be rethinking what we're doing also. I know that Paso Robles and Arroyo Grande in particular are pretty adamant about doing their own thing, as is San Luis Obispo. Maybe it's something we ought to look at.
And just for the public's education, the BID is Business
Improvement District, where the idea is that we would raise the TOT from 10% to 12%, and the city would get 1%, and the VCB would get another 1%, and it would be used countywide to advertise and pack the hotels and get lots of tourists here. But it seems like Paso Robles and San Luis and some of the other cities want to go their own way.
Thank you. Councilmember O'Malley?
Thank you. Just comment on that is, you know, the Economic Vitality Corporation, EVC, not to be confused with VCB or BID.
Yeah, the VCB is the Visitors Conference Bureau.
Yes. And that is countywide, but the Economic Vitality Corporation is doing the countywide tourism study, and a number of cities are participating individually, and I think that might be an opportunity for us to revisit our whole tourism strategy, because we don't have much of one, as most cities don't at this point, with that study coming forward. And I'm disappointed that we didn't look at it regionally, just in the fact that our county is looking at a 35 to 40% increase in beds countywide. That's going to be quite a few beds that are going to be in competition with each other. And as we know, TOT is great, but if you actually reduce your percentage of occupancy, it's going to hurt us all. And there's a kind of a thin margin where you get below a percentage, all motels could have some struggling. And quite frankly, I've studied this area quite a bit and learned a lot from Steve Martin, who I think is our resident expert in tourism. But the fact is, we're in competition not with each other, but with other counties. And quite frankly, Santa Cruz, especially Ventura, Santa Barbara, Monterey, outspend us about 3-1. And that's why I think some of these cities and counties were looking at this, but there is that economy of scale, and I think it is unfortunate. I think Atascadero was actually a leader trying to look at this on a regional basis, as most problems would be better off approached. So I agree with Councilmember Loon. It's a chance for us to look at this again, possibly part of that study. So I kind of jumped ahead on the EVC report. We do have a couple of holiday celebrations, and I'd like to especially invite folks out in our area if they are wanting to be just a little bit late to the Winter Wonderland. We are having a little Christmas get-together at the Vina Robles Winery, and you can be sure to give me a call or call the city. We'll let you know about that on Friday. A lot has been said about San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, and I did want to reiterate, you know, it looks like we're doing pretty good. I think our city staff have done well to position us to get our fair share, and I don't want to say any more than that, but we're doing pretty good because of work with especially our city engineer, Steve Kahn. I did want to announce that as part of our San Luis Obispo Regional Transit Authority, as Mr. Greening mentioned, I think by taking a look at some contract issues, we were able to save several $100,000 that I think will impact us locally, and I think that was worth doing. In the process, we also
are looking at getting a new director for the Regional Transit Authority, and that will create a little bit of transition issues. We're looking at some contracts and staffing changes there. And I would like to see that we add on our list, maybe as standing committees, the Campaign Reform Committee, much like we do with some of the other committees. I see it as a short term, however it's looking, short term is a couple of years. And I know Ellen and I have put a number of meetings into it, and we're going to be reporting back, and it might be an easy way to, with the meetings we have scheduled, to make sure folks realize we will be discussing it in the future. So just a suggestion. Thank you.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes. I took the time to drive around the city a little bit and visit some of our, they call them strip malls, our businesses and stuff, and I'm really concerned about the number of vacancies.
This is a committee report.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought we were to individual determinations. Yeah. Go ahead. No report.
And I'll announce the committee assignments 2008. It's status quo for the most part. Councilmember O'Malley will continue in his role with SLOCOG and RTA. Councilmember Luna and I will be on the Finance Committee and Liability Claims Review. Councilmember Luna will be on the SLO County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Councilmember Luna will be on the North County Water Purveyors, as well as, I'm sorry, Integrated Waste Management will be Councilmember Mayor Pro Tem Barreau. I'll remain on the Air Pollution Control District. I'll be a member of the Mayor's Roundtable. Councilmember O'Malley will continue in his role with EVC. And City Schools Committee will remain status quo with Mayor Pro Tem Barreau and Councilmember Clay. The commission appointment for EOC will rotate to Paso Robles. And the Councilmember Clay will be assigned to the Tascadero Youth Task Force. And Councilmember O'Malley will remain on the League of California Cities as council liaison. And our LAFCO position remains vacant. And that is my report.
What is the status on the LAFCO situation? Whose turn is that as far as the cities are?
It's actually appointed by the City Selection Committee. We don't have an appointment to that.
Okay, but we are eligible. There's usually someone from the North County in general, and is it someone from Paso at this point, or is that okay?
Then that concludes the committee reports. So moving on to individual determination and or action from the council.
Sure. Am I up?
Councilmember Clay?
Yeah, okay, I'll start over again. Yeah, I took the time to drive around at some of our strip malls, small business stuff, and I was really concerned about the number of vacancies, concerned about the Carlton, and just a kind of a lack of feeling of not having enough hope or turndown. So I hope somehow we can turn this around. Last meeting, why someone brought up the fact about the chamber survey. Yes, I read it all. I think it's right on the money. And there's another survey that it was in regards to Walmart and a lot of other questions. There's another survey that the Trib did. It was an online survey, and I'll read it. The survey was about Walmart, and it said 6%, yes, I'd be okay with a smaller Walmart. And there was 276 responses, by the way. And then big or small, I just want a Walmart. And that was 46%. Big or small, I just want a Walmart. Bigger would be better, and that was 27%. And then 20% said no Walmart any way, shape, or form. So if you figure that out, it's like 79% of the people wanted some sort of a Walmart. And I'd be happy to give this to you if you'd like to take a look at it. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Barreau?
I just wanted to follow up with Tom's comment about the Campaign Reform Committee. I think we probably should add it to our list, just so we, so people are aware that we are meeting on a regular basis, and we will be, start making regular reports.
I see you just blanked it out, but I had my button on you. Oh, go ahead.
Councilmember O'Malley, go ahead.
Thank you.
Just drop me.
Well, that's okay, because I've usually dropped. I think it's your turn to be dropped. Okay. Go ahead. I'll defer to, you know. That's,
well, I was just going to comment that, that obviously everybody doesn't know that online surveys are worthless. They tell you nothing.
Especially when you don't agree with them.
No, even if I agree with them.
They do have their problems. Councilmember O'Malley.
Well, since you brought it up, I was surprised in, because you and I both have some background in research and understand statistical significance on surveys and numbers of persons involved. And there's actually been some very scientific surveys done, and even those have been challenged. Even though folks that do surveys professionally know that the 300 to 450 range in your level of accuracy. So, unfortunately, I'd agree. I don't put a lot of stock in, random surveys, but sometimes we aren't even given much stock to surveys that are actually pretty well done, and that's probably unfortunate, but that's my comment on that. And my comments, what I planned on was, is I'd, I brought up some time ago about some concerns about Colony Square, and we were able to agendize that, and I want to see if what point that's coming back to us, where we are on that analysis, to see what we can do or what's going to be asked of us on that one from staff.
We are working with the owners of the Colony Square. We have not tried to agendize that. One of the owners is going to be out of the country for the next few weeks. And we need to wrap up the financial information before we can bring you back real alternatives.
But staff is working on our alternatives as we as we're waiting anyway. Is that correct?
Yes, we're doing as we're directed.
And the other question I had, I also brought up concerns about status of Stadium Park. Will that be agendized for us at some point, get an update of where we are with Stadium Park?
Yes, it will.
Thank you. And I did want to comment briefly in general on campaign reform. I know when I had my term as mayor, my mayoral theme was to be positive, proactive, and productive. And, we had a good period. We did have some problems in our community come up now and then. And I think if we get back on that track, it'll be healthy. And I think I'm confident working with Councilwoman Bayrou on campaign reform, taking a look at a little different tact, that we really kind of look at how are we discussing political issues in our community. We have a diverse community. That could be a strength, but we've allowed it to work against us, and we want that diversity opinion, and we need to get back to where there's some trust. And I think by pursuing this as a community, and we see this as a really a community effort, it's not just us as council members. I think we need to all take a look at how we talk about issues, and Ellen and I are working away at that, and that'll be it. I think it'd be helpful to maybe staff could just reiterate the dates that are coming up so that folks do have plenty of notice that we do have some public meetings planned, and maybe it'd be appropriate for either city manager or city clerk to kind of give us the status of what's being proposed.
Mr. Mayor. Just to clarify, this is an ad hoc committee. It's not one of the standing committees that's listed on the agenda. This is an ad hoc committee that's together for a short period of time designing the new campaign reform initiative that's one of the initiatives of the City Council. We are looking at trying to round out a program. We're trying to target the January 23rd in the evening and all day on January 24th. As a program to begin this effort, I think it's, I'm sorry, I didn't don't have the title of the effort that we're trying to put together.
Atascadero at its best.
Atascadero at its best is our program that we're trying to assemble for the 23rd and 24th. We are conducting some interviews of city council members and other community members, getting a handle on it. We've done a great deal of research. We have some quite a bit of reading right now the committee is working on, and we hope to have a good event come January for you. So we'll be able to size that up, I believe, at the first council meeting in January.
All right. And my only comments are, you know, Councilmember Clay, I share some of your concerns, but, you know, some of the wobbling economy issues that we have are, you know, they're federal and they're state. And I think the most important thing about turning things around anywhere is to be optimistic. And, you know, as related to the issue of online surveys, I just generally find those akin to voting in Chicago and, you know, in the 20s and 30s, you know, that vote early and vote often. So I don't personally put much stock in that. But, you know, but I do share some of your concerns.
It doesn't surprise me that you compared it to Chicago. You know, I just, as far as surveys go, I was listening to the presidential surveys on statewide surveys on presidential candidates, and they were using the number of like 300 people. And I don't know what our survey here was that the chamber run, but it was for our city, and it was something like 250 or whatever it was. So, and then they poo-poo the numbers, but the bottom line, the survey was right on. If you talk to people, and you obviously talk to different people than I do, but and most of the people out there want us to go forward with the Walmart and see that Del Rio area developed.
All right, thank you. Perhaps I used a bad example. So, any other comments from council? The city clerk?
No report.
City treasurer? The city attorney?
No report.
City manager?
We have a brief update. Jim Lewis, our assistant city manager, attended the League of California Cities legislative briefing, and we'd like to hit some of the highlights for you. The briefing was just last week, and it's information from the legislative year.
I'll be done well before 9:30. Really quick, I wanted to give you a quick overview of what happened in 2007, what the league expects of 2008, and a bit more about the financial situation that we just spoke about. 2007 was supposed to be the year of post-partisanship, if you recall. That didn't happen. That's nothing new. Several issues did arise in 2007. The Republicans lost patience with the governor. We had opposition to reservoirs and water projects. It created a bunch of flood legislation and the rest, and I think we'll see that again this year. There was disagreement over a health care system that consumed the legislature. What that did for us as cities is that we weren't on the radar. And usually we get a book of hundreds of laws that have been passed that impact cities and local residents and land use. And this was one of the lightest years, 2007, in the past several years, four laws that impacted cities. So in one sense, that's good for us. But there are other big issues. The financial position has deteriorated significantly to a $10 billion deficit, is what they're saying. Many of the easy tricks have been completed, so that really also made the healthcare discussion difficult. Funding for cities was protected, so again, 1A did hold up throughout this budget battle, and that was a good sign. And housing monies and transportation monies from the bonds have begun to be allocated. That's a very good sign. We do expect the $500 million, that was set aside for cities to be allocated this fiscal year. And so that was a victory for cities, and that could be several hundred thousand dollars for us for transportation projects. So that was something very good that happened for us. The key issue for us that was a defeat, if you will, was that the legislature could not put eminent domain reform on the ballot. And that was something that they were trying to do, reasonable reform of eminent domain that would still protect some of your rights but make eminent domain illegal for residential condemnation. And that was something that the voters had been very clear on. And so what you have now is a measure that has been supported by the League for eminent domain reform that's reasonable, and a measure supported by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. That's how 2007 ended. That measure is going to make, in some ways, eminent domain completely illegal, even for utilities, schools, other issues. And it's very similar to the initiative that was defeated 2 years ago that has a lot of compensable things in it for actions you may take. And so there's definitely some concerns from the league at that level. So there will be two initiatives on the ballot in 2008 regarding eminent domain. So in 2008, the governor has dubbed this the Year of Education. So we'll see what that means. As you know, the governor sets an issue each year, and they address that. We will be looking for the implementation of the rest of the monies from the infrastructure bonds. That's very important. Water supply will be a big issue. Pension reform is still an issue. We'll receive the findings from the Pension Reform Commission at the state level. So that will be of interest to many. $10 billion shortage needs to be addressed. And as far as taking money away, the league is concerned about that. They do think 1A may hold up because, nonetheless, if they take money from cities, I would remind you that that is a loan. It has to be repaid in 3 years with interest. And so while I think we definitely need to be cautious and squirrel monies and prepare for something, the league still was cautiously optimistic that there are other easier takes out there. Nonetheless, Prop 42 transit funding is most likely at risk, and that could impact us on the transit side of things. So those are some of the themes. Other themes, green buildings and flood management will also be very important issues that we'll see coming forward. So that would conclude my quick report.
Well, thank you, Jim. And that appears that we've come to the end of the meeting.
Yes, we have.
It's only 9:30. What
Not
happened?
Bad.
So, and thanks to everyone for your patience on my first night as mayor.
Mr. Brindler?
Rather trying experience, but we're going to do just fine.
And I just want to say, excellent job of running the meeting tonight, and look forward to working with you.
Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. And meeting is adjourned.